Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse, a podcast that celebrates funny women. I'm your token interviewing person, Lucy Vine, and today I welcome the brilliant Macy Adams. That was a hilarious joke just for her, because her name is actually Maisie Adam. She's the genius comedian who won the So You Think You're Funny competition in 2017 and then blew everyone away at last year's Edinburgh Fringe, getting nominated for the Best Newcomer Award. And you've probably seen her all over your TVs in recent months on things like Mock the Week. Maisie and I get super silly in this chat, speaking about wasps, lies, Steve Irwin and other people's drama. I had the best time with this woman and I hope you love it. Also, if I can take a moment before we begin to self-promote like a legend, my third book is out this week. Are We Nearly There Yet? Is out on Thursday, and it's about Alice who goes off travelling. It's a bit like an Eat, Pray, Shag, and I think you should buy it because it's really excellent. Thank you.
Hello, Maisie.
Hello. Hello, Lucy.
And you're Adam as opposed to Adams. You're
Thank you for realising that.
Does that drive you crazy?
Yeah, and like, it, and then you look an idiot or you look a bit of a diva.
Yeah, it's actually
being
Adam.
Like, it's Adam. Because like some people have really, you know, like much longer and more complex names.
Yeah, it should be quite a straightforward, easy name.
So then you look a bit pedantic being like, it's actually Adam.
Yeah.
It's something that shouldn't grind your gears, but it does.
Really does.
And then you feel like an idiot for pointing it out. So you just do that British thing of being like,
pretending. And then forever talking to these
I'll
people.
I'll just forever be Maisie Adams. Yeah, it's not my name, but we'll go with it.
Yeah. So welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse. Have you ever been in a club before?
Many.
You're a club person.
Many.
Oh, yeah.
Club. Oh, I love.
E.g.
I just love a night out. I do. I proper love a night out. I'm taking it. That's
Raver.
What you mean when you say
a club. I
don't mean
that. No, but we'll come back round.
What sort of clubs are you
meaning?
I meant
like a private members club.
Like
a Scientology.
Oh, like a cult club.
I'm happy to go with the flow.
Yeah. I mean, nightclubs are where I feel most at home,
oh,
I'd
really?
Say.
Dancing,
out of all of the clubs.
Not just standing in
a
corner.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not one of
those
idiots that just sits in a booth and takes photos. No, I just love it. I just proper love a night. But it has to be really good. Like, DJ has to be playing bangers after banger. There was up in Edinburgh last year, Felicity Ward was doing a DJ set every Sunday, I think.
So multi-talented, isn't she?
Like, it's just amazing. The woman has no end to her talent. And as a DJ, like, I'm nowhere near getting married, but when I do, I want Felicity to DJ it.
You're probably quite good at things, aren't you?
In general, just everything.
Yeah,
I'm just good at everything.
You try.
I am a massive advocate for like just giving something a go and having a try. That's
You're
how I got into stand up.
Failure, then.
No, it's how I got into stand up. I just gave it a go.
Mm. I feel like comedy, you have to have quite a thick skin, surely, because you do actually.
You do, but also like there's this weird thing in the comedy industry where people have their certain opinions on what route you should take to get into comedy. Mm. So some are like, you need to do a course, or you need to be on the open mic circuit doing 5 minute spots for at least 6 months. Everybody's got their own thing. Like, my first gig was an hour long because it was the only thing I could find that I could get in. This is when I lived up in Yorkshire.
An hour is a long time to keep an
but
audience.
But I couldn't get in at any club, so I just applied to a local fringe festival that was going on, like in one of these local villages. And I said, can I do stand-up? And they said, yeah, and they gave me an hour slot.
That's incredible, you didn't audition. I thought that was normal.
Because when you go and watch a comedian, it's an hour long. When you watch the DVDs, it's at least an hour. So I was like, brilliant. I wrote what I thought was funny for an hour, did it. You just give it a go.
You're just quite fearless then.
I think I was naive, but I miss that naivety now. Like, I'm now currently writing my second Edinburgh show and bricking it, and everything I write, I'm like, is that good enough? Is that okay? No, that probably won't work. And I've been it before I've even tried it. And what I really crave is that naivety I had 2 years ago to just write and just do it. Just give it a go. If it doesn't work, move on to the next one. If it goes wrong, it's one bad gig, move on again.
But I do think success makes you very self-doubting.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's like, I'm currently writing my fourth book, and like the first one, great, yeah. I was so excited, it was such
because
a joy.
Because you've got nothing to live
like,
up to.
I'm so terrified. I can't, but it's like, this, like you were just saying, like every word, I'm like, that's terrible.
There's a marker that you've made, yeah. And then anything that doesn't match that from then on, you're like, oh, I'm terrified. And you start to... You start to really doubt yourself. Comedy
it's
can be a real
yeah.
It can be a real love-hate relationship because you come out of some gigs and you think, God, this is brilliant. Don't I ever want to do anything else. Yeah, I've clearly found my calling. And then you come out of others and you think, maybe I wrote like those five good jokes and they were great, but that was it.
I've run out of them.
Now. Yeah, genuinely. And
don't have any funny.
You kind of have to like give yourself a real just talking to and say, get a grip, just keep writing. Don't get lazy, and keep going. But I just give everything a go.
But you have had so much success already. Have you ever worked another job? Has it always just been comedy?
No, I graduated from uni and was working like temp jobs. I went to the University of Essex. Right. It was actually the drama school there, but I hate saying that because I sound really wanky. yeah, I know.
Just joking.
But I kind of, to be honest, I came out of that degree. Having learned a lot, but realised just the nature of the acting industry is so reliant on so many other people.
Yeah.
So, first of all, you've got to get the job, which is really bloody hard. And then if you turn up and you've learned all the lines and you're off book by the date you're meant to be, it's still reliant on all of the other cast having that work ethic, or it's still reliant on the director being good, or the script being good, or that people come and watch it. With stand-up, it's so in your own... You're so in control.
Yeah.
You write the material, you perform it, you promote the night, you make sure people come. Like, if it doesn't
isn't
work...
Isn't so much scarier?
It is. It is. That, the stakes are higher, but I
show,
love it.
If a TV or a theatre show ever fails, you can go, oh, well, yeah, the script was rubbish, or the director, or whatever.
But then I find it like...
When
well,
it's just you,
yeah,
you've got to
yeah,
play
and
yourself.
I've been in shows where the script was truly... I mean, I've been in some terrible plays at uni.
Good for you.
And it's really hard to take pride in what you're doing when it's like that. Whereas if you back your show and you go, well, I think this is funny and I think I've got something to say... It might, in the work in progress shows, kind of die on its arse a few times, but you can work out the reasons why, Lucy. So I much prefer that control, and that's what I craved after graduating. So I moved back in with my mum and dad, and I think I was working... I mean, I worked in burger vans and anything. Just temp work, yeah. The job I was doing when I got the call to say I'd got through to So You Think You're Funny final, I was in a mobile caravan serving pims to people who were watching Wimbledon on the park
and
in
you
Leeds.
Left this job.
Yeah, I know, I miss it every day. So I was just working temp whilst I worked out what it was I wanted to. I mean, mum and dad were great because, you know, they're your daughters coming back from uni, moving back in.
I mean, they probably
not
didn't
paying...
have high expectations for the drama.
Well, I know, exactly. But there I was going, oh, just... you know, I'm going to give stand-up a go. And they were like, okay, well, what's your plan? And I just kept working these, like, stupid temp jobs, anything.
Yeah.
There was loads of different ones, waitressing and wedding events, you know, working on the bar
that.
At wedding events,
though,
all of that kind
it?
Of thing. Yeah, you see so many
drunk
people.
Stags.
And then I kept getting, like, open spots down in London and getting the megabus down to there and staying at a mate's and coming back. And it was just practising. And then So You Think You're Funny happened.
Yeah, yeah, you won that, which is incredible.
Yeah, that was weird.
Have you found that, like, everybody from school is now trying to send you messages and be, like, trying to be a friend?
Oh, do you know what? I remember people saying that would happen. And I was like, no, it won't. Like... And I'm mates with a lot of mates from school.
Yeah, were you so already quite cool at school?
No, no, I wasn't cool at school at all. I was a bit of a weirdo. But I had a lovely group of friends, a lot of whom I'm still friends with now. And then it didn't really happen that much in 20. It happened a little bit, just like people dropping me back, like, hey, long time no speak, how are you? And you're like, we...
Looks like you're doing great.
We didn't speak at school, why would we speak now? And then I've really noticed it in the last year since Edinburgh, where obviously, like, there was quite a bit of hype around the show, and then I got a lot of nice offers off the back of that. And that's when it started. When people saw that I was headlining certain gigs, and especially, I've been very lucky this last year to get a bit of TV work. And the first one was this...
Stop saying you're lucky, you're so talented.
Well, it is a luck thing as well. It's a lot of right place, right time. But thank you. And I got this one that was like the show hadn't been done before. It was called the Stand Up Sketch Show, and it was on ITV2. And that was quite... It had some big names attached to it as well. And I started to get a few messages from old school pals then.
Anybody ask you for free tickets?
Yes.
This is the thing. The people I didn't speak to are like, oh,
and then recently I did 8 out of 10 Cats, and it was like, I had somebody who, like, they went to my uni, and I didn't know them at uni. They were just on another course. And they were messaging me being like, do you think you could get Jimmy Carr to sign this birthday card for my dad? And it's like, who do you think you are? It's so...
If I was going to do an embarrassing favour like that, it would be for my actual friends.
Yeah. And then there was like, there's people who've been, I mean, every school has them. Every school has them people who are big fishes in a small pond.
Sure.
And they thought they were the absolute dog's bollocks at school. And uni had some as well. And then suddenly they're like, hey, do you remember when we went on that year 10 school trip? And you're like, yes, I do. And you were a dick.
Yeah, you were bullying everybody.
Yeah. So it's quite... it's been quite eye-opening, really, shall we say. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Because I was enjoying you on Twitter this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd got everybody to tell you, like the bullshit.
This has gone mental.
It's gone mental. The replies are so funny, but loads of them seem to be, like, terrible lies that you tell each other at school.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's me, interrupting like a dick. Just for context, Maisie asked people on Twitter to share the best bullshit they've heard, because she went to school with a lad who claimed his dad invented the phrase "No way, Jose," and that they were still living off the royalties.
And that's the funniest
thing
for me.
So I just put that tweet out.
Yeah. What was your favourite? Do you have a favourite of the
replies? Oh, there's been so many. Someone claimed their nan invented sewing. This lad tweeted me, and he's like, a girl I used to work with claimed that her fella made her levitate during sex.
It's times like that, though, when Twitter is a great place.
Yeah, yeah. A lad at someone's school claimed that he could kick down a detached house, and he drew diagrams of how he would do it.
Seems
he was
plausible.
Like, it would take a year, but I can
I
do
believe
it.
That.
And he had, like, a system of, like, you start with the tiles, and then there was, like, weather components of, like, has to be a wet day.
Were there three little pigs
it's
involved?
It's so stupid, isn't it? But I, honestly, I tweeted it just thinking I could get a couple of replies.
Yeah.
Checked my phone the other day, and, like, Simon Pegg's got involved, the Guilty Feminist have been involved.
People love, like, lies.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Were you a liar at school? Did you...
I think I was an over-exaggerator, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I remember me and my sister telling this one girl when we were in primary school that... This is a bit random. John Major, who was our former Prime Minister, and Hitler were both our grandparents, but nobody could know because they were related.
Ah.
So the Prime Minister, I think this was...
That's
literally
so bizarre.
So weird,
it's just
right?
Like, where does the want to invent that lie come from?
Yeah, I think it started as a sort of, we have famous grandparents, and then we just spiralled.
Yeah. They used to be, do you remember the, what were they called, Alex Rider books? And in the film, they were portrayed by Alex Pettifer, and all of the girls just went crazy about Alex Pettifer.
Yeah.
So I saw Alex Pettifer when I was on a, me and my family went down to London for like a weekend to go and see some shows, and we spotted him, and I was like, oh my God. And I found myself going back to school and being like, and we saw Alex Pettifer. We saw him in the street. And everyone was like, no. And I was like, yeah. And then he asked me out.
Did you actually say that?
And they were like, no, he didn't. And I was like, yeah, but I said it wouldn't work because I lived up north. So I pied off Alex Pettifer. I mean, clearly nobody believed it. But at the time, I think everyone was like, oh, okay,
Maisie. I bet some people kind of half believed it.
I'd love it if they did. I mean, if you saw me in year 9, you wouldn't believe it. Like... some lanky year nine being like, oh yeah, Alex Pettiford, yeah.
I was working, because I'm older than you, obviously, but I worked at Sugar magazine when Alex Pettiford was kind of coming up, and I did interview him, and he was very
so
difficult.
Beautiful. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Is he difficult?
I think he's notorious. Well, like, he got cut out of most of Magic Mike, or Magic Mike 2, I can't remember, because him and Channing Tatum, like, completely fell out. It was a really big thing.
That's so surprising, Alex, because also, diva, like, he's not you don't see as much of him anymore, do you?
He was the next big thing, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was the next big thing.
So I was supposed to interview him. He was in LA.
If that is true, he's a good example of how it's just better to not be a dick in the industry, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it will bite.
He just got too big.
People think, like, oh, you can be a dick, but as long as you've got your career, people will just take it. Yeah. They don't. Not if you're. Also, you've not got international stardom yet, so don't. I mean, even when you do have it, don't become a dick.
Yeah.
This is something I've learned as well on the comedy circuit.
Because you became a dick and everybody rejected you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just the biggest dickhead on the
planet. You've kind of had some highs and lows.
The biggest names I've met, by and large, I mean, obviously there's a few knobheads, but the really big names that I've met and, like, my heroes have just been lovely.
Yeah.
Really great. And that's... Of course they've got to where they are off their merit and their talent, but also just being nice... It makes you get booked again.
Yeah.
It makes you... When people are like, oh, we need someone for this last-minute TV record because so-and-so's dropped out, they're not, and they've got two options. They're not going to go for the one who's difficult. They're going to go for the one
who's... They're not going to go for Alex Pettiford.
Who's lovely. And then I've also met comics who, like, are really not all that, like... Yeah, you're
always,
like, you know...
It's always the sort of... As somebody who's interviewed for magazines and stuff, it's always the sort of middle...
The middle level.
...level that are dicks.
So they're doing A-list really well. They're doing really well on the circuit. Yeah, they're gigging every night. But if I mentioned their name to my mate, they wouldn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're not, like, on my TV screens or whatever. And they can sometimes really be a knobhead.
Interesting.
And, like, in those proper, like, you know, comedy clubs where often you are the token female on the lineup.
This
I've
is
noticed
it.
A lot
it's
of...
It's quite a male space a lot of the time.
Yeah, and especially when you're new as well, there's a lot of, like...
Louis CK showing you his dick?
Well, thankfully, nothing like that. But there's also, like, a lot of just... It feels like an old boys' club because they're all in on something that you're not in on. And then when you try to contribute, often they talk over you like you're not there. And so that can be really frustrating. And then when you go and do something like 8 out of 10 cats on Mock the Week, you're like, well, this is the top end. This is going to be horrible. And actually, everyone's lovely.
Oh, that's nice. Because a lot of people have had bad experiences on those panels.
I had, like, the nicest thing on Mock the Week.
Well, I think they've made an effort to make it much nicer space for women.
Yeah, I do think so. Like, my episode was a 50-50 split of male and female on the panel.
Do you find that female comics are supportive and...
Yeah, I had Sarah Pascoe as my team captain. And I'd never met her before. I went and saw her when I was at uni. She came to Southend, so I went and saw her. And I just thought she was brilliant. And then I saw that she was my team captain. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be, like, really weird.
Yeah.
And she was the loveliest, probably one of the loveliest person I've met in the industry.
She's so
like,
nice.
So even when we were in the makeup bit before, she was like, I think she could tell I was a bit nervous. And she just reached over and she was like, you look beautiful, by the way. And I was like, oh, thank you so much.
Oh, she's so nice.
I know. And then we got to the side where we were about to be called out. And I said, oh, do we go out with our notes? And she went, oh no, the crew will come and take them off you and put them on your desk. But if they don't, give them to me and I'll walk out with them. And she was just lovely.
Oh,
she
God.
Was really, really lovely. And there was a few times where I went to say things and one of the other panellists was talking and then she'd make sure, she'd be like, Maisie, what were you going to say again?
Oh,
so it was just really,
that.
You know, she did stuff that she didn't have to do.
Yeah.
You could kind of tell that she'd been... Because obviously she's been on the circuit a lot longer than me.
So she's probably
she's
seen
been
the
that token
evolution.
Woman
yeah.
on
yeah.
the panel shows when the panel shows were like what the comedy clubs are often like now. So
I
really
if,
appreciated
if
it.
She even maybe said like we need more women for that episode.
Probably,
or
I wouldn't be surprised. She's a
yeah.
real.
She's using her power for good now, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, I just think she's fantastic.
So do I.
Yeah.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we're going to do now.
Okay.
A club. I keep calling it a clubhouse initiation just to kind of stay theme, but it's actually just some silly questions. Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
It does, doesn't
Should
it?
We fuck a pig?
Yeah. Yeah, let's all fuck
Yay.
A pig.
I'll have some pigs brought down here.
Oh, God.
Have you ever been stung by a wasp?
No wasp or bee, to the point where I'm starting to think it's a myth.
Are you Bruce Willis from Unbreakable?
Literally, like, so many people are always like, my boyfriend, he gets so weird when a wasp or bee comes, he like freaks out. I'm like, what's the matter? And he's been stung before, so he knows what to, whereas I'm like,
you don't know
the it's
pain.
Not a threat because it's not happened. I'm like, they just don't sting. They don't do it.
I thought I was invincible because it had never happened. And one time, a bee or a wasp like actually sort of bounced off my skin.
Yeah,
it
I've had that.
Like it went
I've had
to
them full
sting
on
me.
Land on and then go off. Yeah. This is why I'm convinced it doesn't happen.
But then it did happen to me in my friend's house because it was actually on the blanket. I think and I put my hand
really
on it.
Does it really hurt?
And it did really hurt. Well, actually, like when it actually happened, I was a bit like, oh, I think I just got stung. But then the pain
then it kicked
starts
in.
Radiating.
Do you remember that film My Girl with Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah, of course.
And he dies because he's allergic to wasps and he gets attacked.
It?
Yeah, it's like
maybe
a really
you're allergic
it's like a
wasps.
Really lovely like children's film. And then the main character, who's so cute, just dies at the end.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, oh, I guess we're learning about grief now at 6 years old.
Let's watch Marley and Me now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, never been stung. Never been stung.
So you might be allergic?
By anything. Not been stung by jellyfish either. Could be allergic.
What else is there? Jellyfish, wasp?
Jellyfish, wasp,
bee.
What
else
can sting you? A stingray. R.I.P. Steve Irwin.
I know. Oh, yeah. Fuck. I haven't thought about Steve Irwin for a while.
Oh, I think about him so often.
Do you?
I follow his family on Twitter.
Do you really?
Oh, my God. They're amazing. Terry Irwin, his wife, and then Bindi and Robert, his children. And they are just so wonderful in the way they carry on his legacy. Bindi has settled down with a lovely man called Chandler, who also works at the zoo. Like, oh, God, they're just the most wholesome family.
But they still tweet about Steve quite a lot.
Yeah, all the time. They tweet, like, old footage, like, that Steve would take of them. Bindi went on Dancing with the Stars 2 years ago and won
in
with
America.
Derek Hough, who used to go
Derek
out with Cheryl Cole.
Yes.
Anyway, she won. She won.
Did she?
I'm the biggest fan of the Irwin family.
I didn't even know that you could watch Dancing with the Stars over here. Is
you
that
can on
special
YouTube.
Channel? Oh, I see.
If you
so
type in
that,
Irwin.
You're that obsessed.
I just regularly YouTube the Irwin family.
Do you like dancing or was it literally just
the
Irwin family?
I don't
family
like dancing, but I do love watching dancing. Strictly Come Dancing every year.
Would you
I
like
bloody
to go on
love
Strictly?
It. It's my main career goal.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I won Strictly because I danced the Paso Doble to Darude's Sandstorm, you know.
Do you think you could do? Could you? Can you actually dance?
No, not okay. all. But I
Who
won,
would be your
and
partner?
I beat. I was with Kevin Clifton.
I may, of course. You
and
are.
I beat BBC weather presenter Thomas Schaffernacker.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a really attractive.
I get my weather from
presenter.
ITV.
Oh, controversial.
Do you want to end this prematurely? This budding friendship.
Yeah, I'm out.
You should take dance lessons so that you're ahead of the game when it actually comes round to
you know
being
people
asked.
Do that apparently because obviously
yeah,
I listen to all
case.
The Strictly Inside Goss.
What you need to do is be asked. You have to turn it down a couple of times because that's what all the cool people do.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be that
take
cool.
Take those lessons.
As soon as I get the offer, I'd be like, yes, before they can take it back.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm just trying to help your career here.
I'm just saying,
turn it down a couple of times so you can say in interviews, oh, well, they have asked, but I'm just not quite ready, you know, I'm just so busy with my career right now.
If you're busy with your career, you don't get asked, so... It's like, when people say that, I'm like, bullshit. They don't ask. Anyone who's busy with their career doesn't get asked. The reason you've been asked is because your career is very much not busy at the moment.
So you haven't been stung by a wasp?
Haven't been stung by a wasp, sorry. I've just offended every single person that's ever been on a reality show.
That was amazing.
Except Joel Dommett, you were great on I'm a Celebrity.
I was going to say, actually, if you don't get, if you're immune to insects, you should go on I'm a Celeb as well.
Yeah.
From Strictly. I think that would be amazing to
do, but I'd be petrified.
Yeah.
Can't do snakes and spiders. Can't do snakes and spiders.
I don't mind them, but I just think...
No, can't do it.
Putting them in your
face. Unless it's Steve Irwin holding them, then I can't do it. There is an amazing video. If you type in Steve Irwin snake bite to YouTube. So he's like on live TV and he's like talking about this snake. He's holding it and he's like, oh, she won't bite me. She's very calm. And then it just jumps up, bites him on the face. His face is like bleeding and he's like, oh, well, I was wrong. It's bitten me. And he just carries on because that's the kind of trooper Steve Irwin was. Okay. I just think he's great. Same. I said to my boyfriend the other day, I was like, what do you think of the name Irwin if we had a boy?
And he
was like, no.
How long have you been with
not.
Your boyfriend?
Just over a year.
Okay, so you can just about start saying crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can start being real self at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. He's too late now.
He's trapped. Too late now. You've tricked him into loving you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you can't love me at my Irwin, you don't deserve me at my best. Irwin's a great name. It does sound like a sort of...
I might like it if it wasn't just so...
So in tribute to Steve.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
But you can't call them Steve because then no one would ever be like, oh, who are you named after? Because there's loads of Steves.
Don't tell people.
What is wrong with naming your kid after Steve Irwin? Or we could call him Stingray, but that's quite dark. Anyway.
You have friends over, how worried are you about stains?
Not worried at all. Not worried at all. Back. And then they happen and I'm like... So I'll have friends over and I don't ever think, oh, like there'll be a stain. It just doesn't occur to me. And then if somebody spills something, I do that thing of being like, oh, don't worry, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And internally I'm like, for fuck's sake.
I have that horrible thing as well where I'm pretending to be cool. And then I resent them after they've left. But I'm also like, how quickly can I run aggressively over with a cloth and start scrubbing?
But also, I don't want to feel bad. I don't feel sorry for people who have like a white or cream sofa.
No.
And then invite friends round and drink red wine.
Yeah, like ban red wine.
Just don't do it.
No.
I have like a hard floor in my living room, so if you spill some, it's like I'll just put a J cloth down.
Perfect.
Or just lick it.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any pets you could just send in?
No, but that would be that'd be great. Just get the pet stingray to have a little float in the red wine. Yeah, no, it's just not a concern. Not a concern at all.
Fair enough. Do you believe in soulmates?
Oh, I thought that was close. That was close, wasn't it? Do you believe in God? I was like, what? Do I believe in soulmates? Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't...
Yeah, it's not
I
a
do
very
believe
romantic
in soulmates.
Answer.
No, I don't believe you have one soulmate.
Okay.
I don't believe there's that one. Because it's like, oh, come on, there's 7 billion people in the world.
I think it's more like 8 point something now.
Is it?
I think, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
might have made
probably.
That up. I'll check.
But, like, you can't just have one soulmate. But I do think there are people who... are your soulmate, but like,
is your what's your boyfriend's name?
Mike.
Mike.
Yeah,
Mike
and like, I think he's my soulmate, 100%. But like,
I mean,
and
but,
I don't think he would be angry
Steve
at me
Irwin
for saying.
Is dead, so.
but if Steve Irwin was allowed, like Mike, who you know, I think there's probably lots of different ones in the world.
Yeah,
who
that
could
seems like
be.
A safe answer. So if something happens to Mike, if he's involved in a stingray incident, you
yeah.
can still find love in the world.
I think yeah, it's like it's not. Yeah, if he was like a Steve Irwin and went,
I feel like I'm attacking you. I don't believe in soulmates, so
do you not?
No, I'm not very romantic.
Like, it's difficult, isn't it? Because everyone has a different description or whatever
definition. Of
thank you of what soulmate is. But then I also think like a soulmate isn't always a romantic thing. Like I would say my best friend is my soulmate as well. I'd say my mum's a soulmate.
Nice.
I think it's just a soulmate. I think it's just a word used. To describe people who are really, really...
matey with your soul.
Yeah, literally. They're really, really in sync with you.
Yeah. How good is your memory?
That's a really good question.
Is it...
How good to my memory? Good.
Okay.
Good. Yes, okay. Good. Because people will sometimes be like, oh, that... Like, the other day I got an email and they were like, oh, I didn't do this. And I was like, you did.
Ooh.
You did.
Oh, you're annoying then.
Yes. But then if somebody's
people
like...
don't want to be reminded.
But then somebody will also be like... Michael will be like, oh, don't forget, we've got dinner on Friday. And I'm like, ah. Do you want to, like, come to my gig and then we can do dinner? Where's your gig? Lincoln.
And it finishes at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. So, I'm forgetful, but I also have a good memory for certain things.
Excellent.
Yes.
Next question. How good is your memory?
I'm
sorry. That's really cheesy.
That's good. I like that.
Sorry. Do you secretly enjoy other people's drama?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
But how do you feel about your own drama?
Anybody who says no to that question can get in the bin. Oh, please.
So, but do you enjoy your own drama then? When dramatic things are happening in your life, are you still into it? Oh,
I think a little bit of me, like I'm hating it, but a little bit of me is like, oh God, this is going to be great to talk about. Once it's all blown over, it's great because one day we'll be like, you'll never guess what once happened to me. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. My favourite thing is when someone comes in and is like, guess what I found out? And you're like, spill the tea.
Yes.
This is brilliant. My two best friends were in a WhatsApp group and like, any time capitals are used, you know it's going to be great. They'll be like, guess what happened? Guess who I've
clear
just seen?
Clear schedule.
Yeah. Guys, I need advice in big advice. That's a good one because you're like, brilliant.
Really long voice note as well. I'm like, oh, this is going to be juicy.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
Amazing.
I love it.
Good. Here is your welcome to the Clubhouse goodie bag.
Oh, thank you so much. That's nice. We get a goodie bag.
Yeah.
What's in the goodie bag?
It's mostly just chocolate.
Oh my God, this is such a good goodie bag.
Pull out that orange thing. I just wanted to know what the fuck that is. I just saw it and it was only a couple of pounds. So
okay,
I was just like,
for the listeners,
I don't know what that is.
I'm not sure if this is a marshmallow or a... Oh no, it's like a foam, big foam pencil.
I feel like the front of it just
about
says...
the size of a roll-on deodorant. Is it like a oh, it's oh, it's quite therapeutic to squeeze.
Maybe it's a
I think it's stress a stress ball. Squishy, slow rising, scented.
That's all it says on the
it's
front. Slow
absolutely
rising,
not scented. It's not
maybe
scented.
Maybe you need to squeeze harder.
That's not scented at
no,
all.
No, it just sort of smells like...
sponge.
Somebody's been squeezing it.
Yeah, it smells of my hands. Thank you for that.
So weird, but the rest of it is chocolate. I don't know, do you drink?
Do I drink? My boyfriend's a cocktail. He runs a cocktail. My boyfriend's a cocktail.
I'm
dating a Negroni.
Okay, sure.
This is great. Pimm's, because you knew I used to serve Pimm's.
Exactly.
You did your research. You're so good.
I was going to ask you a lot about comedy, but like Hannah, my producer,
comedy's
told me
great.
To stop. But it's going well. It's brilliant.
That,
okay,
that's
great.
Your quote. Comedy
oh,
is
Is there
great.
Anything that you would like to plug before I sign off?
Yeah, I've got an Edinburgh show. So if you were going to be up in the Edinburgh Fringe, come and see my show. It's called Hang Fire. It's on every day. I don't have a day off because I'm not a quitter. Oh my God, I've just like pied off so many people in this industry being like, if you get a reality show, your career's over. If you have a day off at Edinburgh, if you don't like Steve Irwin. It's on every day at the Gilded Balloon and it's called Hang Fire. And my name's Maisie Adam. So
and
just...
you can follow her on Twitter.
Yeah, oh my God. And like Instagram. Get in touch on this viral tweet I've done because I don't go viral
it's
very
so
often.
Fun.
But give a good read of the responses. They're very funny.
I mean, this might not be out for a couple of months. So
oh, we'll just scroll down and find it.
Yeah, just pin it to the top
I'll pin
of your profile.
It. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, I'll pin it. Yeah, at Maisie Adam on pretty much
Adam
everything.
Adam Singular.
Yeah, Adam Singular. Instagram, Twitter, Habbo Hotel, MySpace, Pixo.
You lost me. Thank you for joining me today,
thank
Maisie.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for having me.
You are wonderful.
It's been lovely.
Thank you for everyone out there for joining us. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening, you lovely legends. Next week on the podcast, we have the truly excellent Tiff Stevenson. Please do join us for the fun. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.